Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
In for JR, I'm the sports machine, Sean Levine, right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Ryan, spin the wheels for us back in studio. The number's 888-710-4ISN. We are about 15 minutes away, let's call it, from kickoff, Monday Night Football, the season opener for the Bears and the Vikings from Soldier Field. The Bears are a 1.5-point favorite, so we'll break that down here in just a couple of minutes. In about 15 minutes, we're going to bring on Will Ortner to talk some college football with us. Michigan's gotten off to a good start, although Michigan's coach, Sherrone Moore, is suspended because, well, him and Jim Harbaugh, they're a bunch of stinking cheaters. And so they had to name their interim coach earlier today. Ryan, did you see who the new interim coach for the Michigan Wolverines is by chance?
I saw the name, but I couldn't pronounce it.
That would be Biff Poggi that you're looking for. Biff Poggi.
Like the magic dragon?
Yeah, that's the one. No. That's Puff. Yeah, you're looking. This would be Biff Poggi. And I had to go to the internet to find out what his real name was, because I've talked about Dabo Swinney before, and I said nobody's ever looked more like a Dabo, and I did it for like 15 minutes. Then somebody called in. They're like, you know his name's William Christopher, and I refused to believe it until Wikipedia confirmed it. Double check for me. I think that Biff Poggi is Mr. Poggi's born name. I think at some point the proud Poggi parents, how old is this guy? 66 years ago, they had a little baby born, little baby Poggi, and they were and they were like, what do you think, Biff? Oh yeah, he looks like a Biff.
I don't want to break your heart.
Oh no. Just tell me he's Biff. What's his name?
Francis Xavier.
Actually, I'm not mad, because that's like Xavier. Shocking. Have you seen Biff Poggi?
I just looked up a picture, and he's wearing like
a cutoff.
It's not pleasing to look at either.
Well, if I'm trying to describe the look of Biff Poggi, and tell me if I'm stereotyping here, I would say the closest human that he reminds me of is Larry the Cable Guy. Is that fair?
A little bit. He kind of looks like Rex Ryan mixed with Larry the Cable Guy.
Actually, yes. If those two somehow had a love child, that would be Biff Poggi. You guys need to see this guy. He's the former coach of the Charlotte football team, and he wasn't that good, but then again, it's Charlotte. And now he's the coach of Michigan, and his name is Biff Poggi. And you, Francis to you, you would think that Michigan might have a little bit more of like a button-up policy than other places that Mr. Poggi's coached at. Because I'm looking, and every single picture that I find, he's wearing cutoff sleeves. And I haven't looked at what the weather's going to be, and I don't even know Michigan's playing. But something tells me you can't be the coach of Michigan and not have on, like, at minimum a collared shirt. If you're going to go straight Biff Poggi on the sidelines for a school, like, you can get away with it at Charlotte. But if you're going to do it at Michigan, I mean, honestly, what's next? Like where do we draw the line? We got coaches out there wearing, like, Jalen Rose-type shorts, or guys going out there. Like, what if James Franklin came out next week for Penn State and flip-flops? You know what I'm saying? Like, what if Dabo Swinney came running down that hill in, like, a Grateful Dead shirt? Actually, I wouldn't be mad at him. That'd be pretty cool. There's no way Biff Poggi's going to coach that game with no sleeves on, right? I can't imagine. Anyway.
I saw a picture. He's got a t-shirt on. They added, like, I don't know, 3 inches of sleeve to try to stop him. that's all they did.
And look, 3 inches is important. Just trust me. But not when it comes to Biff Poggi's t-shirt. It's not really doing a whole lot. It's not really covering up whatever areas they were trying to. And our guy Biff is a bigger fella. Like, if a guy's going to be wearing a cutoff t-shirt and you're on Muscle Beach or something, sometimes you stop and you stare. Like, if Ashton Jeanty, and this has nothing to do with sexuality or being attracted to them, but if you see Ashton Jeanty with a shirt off, you stop and you go, damn, that guy's chiseled. Wow, I can't believe they make humans like that. If you see Biff Poggi walking down the street and he's wearing the cutoff shirt, you probably look the other way. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. Biff Poggi. That's such a great name. The name for the quarterback of the Vikings tonight is no longer Sam Darnold. The name is now J.J. McCarthy. And J.J. McCarthy is, I would say, the biggest unknown, which makes the Vikings the biggest unknown heading into this NFL season. Now, the truth is, if you watched a couple of games yesterday, you're probably thinking, Tampa, I thought they were the best team in the division. Yeah, they won, but they probably should have lost to an Atlanta team that I don't have huge expectations for. If you watch the Pittsburgh-New York game, you're probably thinking, the Jets actually look okay. Put up a bunch of points, even though they lost. They were at home. Justin Fields looked pretty good. If you're a Pittsburgh fan, you're thinking the same thing. What I'm getting at, there are a few teams heading into this season that have a wide range of what they could end up being. See, for me, from the Bears' side of things, if things go bad, let's say that things go kind of like they did last year where the Bears got off to a good start, and then eventually they lost 10 of their last 11 games. They fired their coach, fired their coordinator. Let's see how the chemistry is early on with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. I think this time next year, and Bears fans don't want to hear anything about patience, but this time next year, we're going to be having a totally different conversation about Chicago. Everybody's going to be comfortable. They're going to have some chemistry. They're probably going to bring in some free agents that want to be a part of this whole thing. I think the Bears are going to be a problem going forward. But right now, even tonight, I have no idea what to expect from the Bears. I do think, though, if things go terrible this entire year, then they're still going to win. What did they win last year? 5 games? Then they still win probably 6 or 7. And if things go great for the Bears, and if Caleb Williams develops, and if Ben Johnson's an awesome coach right away and they catch some breaks, they play in a tough division, I'll say the Bears can win. I'll go as high as 10 Bears fans, but I don't really believe that. I'd say more like 9. Which might get you into the playoffs. You sneak in the back door at 9-8, which is pretty good for year 2 of the Caleb Williams regime, considering what Bears football has been for a while. But there's not that wide of a range what they're going to be. With the Vikings, dead honest, they could be a last-place team this year that picks in the top 10. They could win 6 games. They could go 6-11 and not be a part of the playoff conversation the entire year based on one decision they made this offseason, which was, let's go with J.J. McCarthy, and let's let Sam Darnold walk. And I don't think that was as easy as it sounds like for a couple of reasons. One, yeah, Sam Darnold was going to be expensive, but you didn't have to lock him up for 4 years like Seattle did. In theory, you could have had a conversation with him and said, hey, man, you're really good this year. Out of nowhere. In fact, we thought you were going to be the backup. J.J. McCarthy got hurt early on. We put your ass out there, and you overachieved. Sam Darnold last year, it doesn't matter what you think of him in the playoff game or the last regular season game versus Detroit. He's the main reason, I would say, why the Vikings went 14-3. They weren't just good, they were great. They're the first team to go 14-3, not win the division, and not host a playoff game. So the Vikings, no matter how you slice or dice it up, were awesome last year, and so was their quarterback, Sam Darnold. 35 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, finished pretty high up in the MVP voting, and they let that guy walk. To me, that's crazy. Here's what I would have done, and I'm not a general manager, but I would have said, hey, Sam, we want to keep you around, but we've also got this guy waiting in the wings in J.J. McCarthy, so can we sign you up for the next 2 years? How much do you want long-term? And he would say, I'm just throwing numbers out there, $40 million a year. And go, okay, cool. We're going to give you $50 million a year, but only for the next 2 years. So you want $100 million bucks, bro, for the next 2 years? Put your name on the dotted line. Because then the Vikings would be in a situation where tonight you put Sam Darnold out there, coming off a season where you won 14 games. It looks like that division's kind of wide open where Green Bay's all of a sudden the best, and who knows about Detroit, and who really knows about the Bears we're talking about right now. Minnesota, if they brought back Sam Darnold, if they ran it back with the same band, would probably right now, today, be pretty close to the favorite to win the division. Why not? You know what I mean? Based on what they did last year. Now we have no idea what they're going to be. Like, if you're a better on their win total this season, talking about the Vikings, you're a better man or woman than me. I'm running from that type of thing. I have no idea. Even if you're betting on this game tonight and you're on the Viking side of things, what's your rationale? Is it it's week one, so we don't really know anything anyway? Is it I don't believe in Caleb Williams? Is it Ben Johnson? It's going to take him a little while to understand the speed of the NFL as a head coach and all those different things. There's a lot going on. Can you imagine? You're in Chicago on Monday Night Football. there's already a lot of attention paid to you just because of that. You got the stage to yourself. Everybody wants to know what Caleb Williams is going to be, and it's your first game as a head coach. Things got to be going a billion miles an hour for that guy, too. So tonight, honestly, I have no idea which way this thing's going to go. I don't even know which quarterback's going to outplay the other guy. From a Bears fan's perspective, just to get off to a good start and have a good feeling, you better hope it's your guy. Because Justin Fields could have been the quarterback for this team in theory, and he actually looks pretty good. And you screwed it up by not taking Jaden Daniels, and I'm not mad at you. But he looks like he's going to be pretty good. And if J.J. McCarthy goes out there and tears it up tonight, 3 touchdowns, 300 yards, and Caleb Williams struggles, and they put the beats down on you, ruh-roh. That's just not going to be a good look. So if you force my hand, I think I'd bet the Bears tonight. Because J.J. McCarthy, I feel like I'm missing something. I remember him at Michigan, but I don't remember him in Michigan looking like Johnny Manziel. Maybe that's a bad example because Manziel was probably a stretch to be a first-round pick in the NFL. I don't remember seeing a Trevor Lawrence. Oh, this guy can't miss because he's putting up 40 touchdown seasons and 400-yard games. I don't remember seeing a guy like that in college, so I had to go back and look at the numbers. In college, his sophomore year, 22 touchdown passes. That's very pedestrian. Now, I understand he played on a good Michigan team that had a lot of NFL talent around him, so only had to do so much. They won the national championship the next year. Guess how many touchdown passes he threw for? 22. To me, that's a game manager on a college football team that had 7 first, second, and third round draft picks. There was a ton of talent around him. So we're only about to find out, as far as I'm concerned, if this guy's even worth being a first round draft pick. Let alone a top 10 pick, let alone a top 10 pick coming off an injury that you just let your quarterback coming off a 14-win season walk for. I mean, Minnesota's literally put all of their eggs into this basket of J.J. McCarthy, who to me is wildly unknown. And even if you think you know how good a player is going to be coming out of college, you don't. I just mentioned Trevor Lawrence. What's that guy been in the NFL? How about Bryce Young? Yo, Bryce Young sucks like a Hoover vacuum, doesn't he? I feel bad for Carolina because I was just talking about Chicago and the choices they, in theory, could have had at quarterback. Same thing with Carolina. How many different quarterbacks did they pass up on or trade up to get Bryce Young or not even get to spend their number one pick, which turned out to be Caleb Williams because of it? They screwed it up too, but damn, going forward, there's not even a light at the end of the tunnel that I can see for Bryce Young. I can already say that's a bust, and we're only 3 years into it. 2 years in one game, really. I don't know what you do about it because you have to at least give him, I would say, what do you think, the next couple of weeks until you just cut that cord and say it ain't working. He was kind of okay at the end of last year. Talk about Bryce Young and his defenders made a big deal out of it. We're talking about a number one pick in the NFL draft here, okay? The expectations are a little bit different when you're a number one pick. But my point of going down this road is just because you are a number one pick, Trevor Lawrence isn't great. Caleb Williams didn't look great. Bryce Young looks okay. And J.J. McCarthy was not that. And they let Sam Darnold walk? That's a lot of pressure. You literally have the weight of the entire organization as a rookie quarterback. Truly what he is, taking his first NFL snaps tonight on the road in Chicago, coming off an injury. You know what? I talked myself into betting the Bears. It took me a while, y'all, but saying it out loud, you got to be a Bears better, right? How can you bet the other side with the unknown that is the quarterback? Maybe we get some JJ to JJ tonight, and Justin Jefferson has 140 yards. But to me, that kind of feels like the Vikings' only shot. If you're going to play the number, it's 43.5. Big surprise, it's windy in Chicago, and I mean like especially windy, so that's probably not going to help either passer. Let's take a quick look back while we got a couple of minutes at the scores that we saw in week one, because week one had a lot of games that had hype, and a lot of them actually lived up to the hype. We pretended like that was going to be the case with college football, and then we saw Clemson and LSU, and then we saw Texas and Ohio State. It was like, eh. As far as the NFL goes, they gave us Philadelphia and Dallas to kick things off. That was fun, right? No Micah Parsons, Phillies showing everybody their shiny rings and their banner, and it was a close game. Eagles end up winning that one 24-20. The Chargers in Brazil on Friday night, little Friday night football, took out my Chiefs 27-21. Mahomes looked tight. Honestly, Justin Herbert looked great. That's as good as I've ever seen him. First time I can tell you as a Chiefs fan since Mahomes has been the starter, I don't think they're going to win the division. And then yesterday, early games, Bucks over the Falcons, 23-20. Falcons probably should have won that game. Bengals, I'm off that bandwagon. If you can only beat the Browns with a lot on the line, including your coach's job, and try to not lose early season games like you have been to make the playoffs, you got to blow the doors off a team like the Browns. 17-16, I'm not impressed. If anything, I'm more impressed with Cleveland. Colts and Dolphins, Indy beat the brakes off the Dolphins, man. I'm not saying the Dolphins are the worst team in the NFL. To me, that belongs to the Saints, but they might be next. They stink. Raiders beat the Patriots. A lot of people like the Patriots this year. It's just 1 week, 20-13. Everybody in the AFC West won. The Chiefs are in last place right now. Cardinals beat those Saints I was just talking about, 20-13. Steelers over the Jets. I was going to say that was the most fun game on the schedule that actually played out. That game was awesome, 34-32. 17-6, the Steelers outscored the Jets to come back at the end of the fourth quarter to eventually win that game. But I'd sound like an idiot if I said that was the best game as far as entertainment value goes, because how about that game last night? We'll get there in a second, but goodness, I mean, what else do you want? Commanders beat the Giants 21-6. It's Jackson Dart time. Even though they're going with Russell Wilson, I'm sorry, Giants fans. That sucks. I have no idea why they would do that. Is that an organizational decision? That can't be Brian Daboll. Even if his number one intention at this point is keeping his job, is the best way to keep your job, is the best way to win football games to put Russell Wilson on the field? I don't think so. I don't know who's making that call. I'm telling you this much, it's a bad one. And if Brian Daboll's the one making that decision, maybe he should be making the decisions going forward. The Giants look terrible. They put up two field goals. If that's all you get, Jackson Dart can't be worse. Like, literally, it can't be worse. Jags beat the Panthers 26-10. Broncos beat the Titans 20-12. San Francisco over Seattle in Seattle 17-13. We saw Micah Parsons for the first time in a Green Bay uniform. That fit pretty well. Green Bay beat the Lions 27-13. What's the level of concern in Detroit right now? It's just 1 week. Rams beat the Texans 14-9. That game was a snooze fest. But it wasn't on Sunday Night Football. The Bills and the Ravens? I mean, goodness, 41-40, Bills walk it off. Bills outscore the Ravens 22-6 in the fourth quarter after trailing by 16 points. Just an all-time great comeback. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a little while, but let's actually go back to college. Let's talk some college football coming up next with my guy Will Ortner as he joins us on the Infinity Sports Network.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's Sean Levine.
Well, it's good. Good Monday night to you. It is Monday Night Football, just getting underway from Chicago. 11 minutes left in the first, no score. Vikings got the ball first. One pass complete for J.J. McCarthy, so he's 1-for-1 for 5 yards. He also got sacked. They turned the ball over, I should say, on downs. They kick it away. And then Caleb Williams has thrown the ball 3 times for the Bears, 3-for-3 for 22 yards, as the Bears are moving the ball right down the field. So good start, at least very early on from Chicago. 10:47 left in the first quarter. We'll keep you updated on all of that. There's nothing sadder than when you find out that somebody that you knew, or even if you didn't know them, but you just like cared about them, some of the celebrity passed away. You're like, oh man, that sucks. Like, I really like that person. But on the flip side of that, do you ever find out that somebody you thought was dead is still alive? And you're like, no way. All right. And then you can celebrate for a little bit. That's happened twice to me now in the last 24 hours. I was trying to bring on a guest earlier. He goes, no, I can't come on because I'm going to a James Taylor concert tonight. And I was like, James Taylor's still with us? I'd look how old he was. He's only 77, so that's on me. But I thought for sure he was no longer a thing. And then yesterday before the Sunday Night Football game between Baltimore and Buffalo, they had Marv Levy do the preview, and he did a really good job. And he's very coherent and still with it, and sense of humor and all that. He said, I came 100 years old. I'm like, Marv Levy? Who knew? I'm excited. That's awesome. I was sure he was gone. Anyway. I digress. Let's talk some college football for a few minutes with my good friend, Will Ortner. Will, did you know Marvel Levy was still with, be honest, did you know Marvel Levy was still with us?
Who's Marvel Levy? Marvel Levy?
Yeah, he is. The old Bills coach. Apparently he's still around, so how about that? What about Biff Pogge? You know anything about Biff Pogge?
Well, isn't that the old Charlotte coach who wore all the, like, the horrible, horrible cutoffs?
Yeah, that's the guy that Michigan named him as the interim head coach. So we'll see if he wears the cutoffs on the sidelines for Michigan. After the first couple of weeks, just big picture, who do you think, based on their actual play, has been the most impressive team? Not what we thought in the preseason, but based on what they've actually done, who's been the best college football team?
Oh, look, I might be a little bit biased, but I love my Duckies. I think what they were able to do to Oklahoma State and basically end Gundy's career, basically at this point we know that he will not be the coach at Oklahoma State next year. I think that's pretty darn impressive, although you can say they haven't really done anything. USF might be the team. They go at home and they beat a Boise State team that made the playoff last year. Florida was everybody's darling, myself included. I was falling for the DJ Lagway hype, and frankly, he's underwhelmed for me, honestly. And for them to go into the swamp and go out and beat them, I think that USF has to be a team you have a conversation for. I mean, shoot, Florida State beat a team by 100. Mm. And they called the dogs off at the end of the first quarter. So I named three teams there as kind of a cheat way of saying there's a lot of good teams still playing college football. And I've been impressed with probably about four or five of them.
What's the opposite of that? And feel free to cheat again with a couple of different teams. Who's been the most disappointing? Clemson's looked terrible. I mean, yeah, they ended up pulling off that game against Troy, but they lost week one at the crib. They were down at halftime. Let's just start there. What the hell's going on? I thought they were going to win the national championship.
I've never been more disappointed in a team that wasn't a team I rooted for than this Clemson team. I told everyone and their mother they were going to win the title. I said that Cade Klubnik was the next version of a great Clemson quarterback. He was going to join the likes of Lawrence and Watson, as someone that we talked about as a great quarterback in Dabo Sweeney's history. Dabo Sweeney finally went into the portal and grabbed good wide receivers. The offensive line is supposed to be strong. The defense is supposed to be nasty. The D-line is, unbelievable again. And then when you watch this team offensively, they can't run the football. Cade Klubnik looks like he's taken two gigantic steps back. The D-line is great, but I wouldn't say that the rest of the defense is fantastic. I think that LSU, they showed me something week one, and they're a better team than I had given them credit for. But now I'm almost thinking, hey, maybe that is the same LSU team that we thought. And this Clemson team is just two steps down on the rung more than we believed. I remember last year when USC beat LSU and it was like, oh, USC's back. They had a neutral site game and they beat LSU. And then, you get a month and a half into the year and that USC team is the same USC team that you thought they would be. And they were kind of a letdown because we thought LSU was something greater than they were. And we found out that both USC and LSU last year were mid. Now I'm wondering, are we finding out that both Clemson and LSU are mid teams again? Or is it maybe LSU slightly a step better and Clemson really isn't the title contender that we thought they might be?
Speaking of USC, former Trojan quarterback Caleb Williams going at it right now on Monday Night Football. He's 6-for-6 on their opening drive with 51 yards as the Bears have worked their way into the red zone against the Vikings on their opening drive. We'll keep you updated on that. Speaking of quarterback play, Will Ortner, Arch Manning, he looked okay. Obviously, he's got high expectations for himself. He's got the last name. He's got the Heisman favorite, at least the beginning of the year, and the number one ranking. It looks to me, and I'm far from a body language expert, that he feels the pressure. Is that what you're saying? Like, it looks like he understands how big this is.
Yeah, I also wonder, and I hate to be the guy who's doing it, but you see all the videos where he's grimacing. Like, is he hurt? Is this a Quinn Ewers situation like last year? Where Quinn came back because he was worried about losing his job to Arch Manning, and he didn't let his core heal, and then you could tell. Anytime he tried to throw the ball with any zip on it, or if he tried to throw the ball deep, he just couldn't get through it because of how bad his core looked. Arch has looked like – I don't want to say he's looked awful because that's not fair, but he hasn't looked like what the Arch Manning we all expected. And every single time I go on Twitter now, there's a new video dissecting, well, what's hurt? Is it his shoulder? Is it his AC joint? Is it a labrum? Is it the way he throws? Why is he mechanically off? And I'm wondering, is he hurt? Or is this maybe the Arch Manning that we're going to get? A kid that's a fine college quarterback, but maybe he's getting too much love and too much hype because of the last name on the back of the jersey.
I definitely think it's more the latter. Now, I'm not saying that you're wrong, that he's not maybe not a little bit dinged up or even more hurt than he's leading on to. The Bears, by the way, on the board, early touchdown, up 6-0 on the Vikings. But I think Arch Manning definitely had way too much hype because of his last name, because it's Texas, all those different things, that there was no way that anybody's going to be able to live up to it. And now that we've seen him struggle for the first couple of weeks, that just adds more pressure. I'm not saying down the line he's not going to turn into the bill of goods that we were sold, but through 2 weeks, my eyes don't lie to me, bro. I got LASIK. I got 20/20. And my eyes tell me he's not the guy that he was supposed to be, at least not right now. There are some good games on the college schedule coming up this Saturday. Let's start with number 6, Georgia, at number 18, Tennessee. A huge matchup in the SEC. Is Georgia still Georgia, and is it time for Tennessee to take the next step?
Well, it's all going to depend on Joey Aguilar. Like, how good is this kid? We saw some flashes against Syracuse, but then we saw Syracuse barely beat a UConn team. So how good is that Syracuse defense, and how good is Joey Aguilar actually? I mean, remember last year, I was a big Nico Imaliava guy singing his praises after what he does to NC State.
He stinks.
He looks like he's not good. He's not good at football. I've been in the last 2 weeks, and I've come away with money. So when I look at this Joey Aguilar situation, is he feasting on lower competition, and so he looks good? What are we going to see when we look at this Georgia team? In my eyes, I don't think this is the strongest Georgia team that we've ever seen, but it's Georgia. At this point, you just kind of have to give them the benefit of the doubt that I don't think Tennessee has quite earned yet. I think if I'm leaning anyway, I'm going to lean towards Kirby Smart and Georgia, but we're going to truly know just how good this Tennessee team is, and specifically just how good Joey Aguilar is. If Joey Aguilar is going to go out there and be, I don't know, a top 5 quarterback in the SEC, Tennessee might win this ball game, and then we have to talk about Tennessee in a completely different light.
How we talk about South Florida, they were unranked. They were huge underdogs in their first couple of games. They go into the swamp. They beat Florida. We spent so much time talking about Florida State's good again. Last week we thought Florida was the U, and now here we go. South Florida undefeated in the polls, ranked number 18, playing number 5, Miami. Can the Bulls pull off the upset against the Canes?
I don't think so, the way that that Miami team is built and the way Carson Beck is playing, but the way that this USF team has played this year, I'm not going to tell them no. If you would have told me, hey, Will, they're going to go in and score 18 points against Florida in the Swamp, I would have told you they lost by 30 in that game. I just didn't buy into this USF team. I felt like, you know, Boise, they got a little bit of extra credit last year because of the success. And so this year, hey, they're a top 25 team. They're really not that. And then not only does USF pounce on them and just trounce them, then you go into the Swamp, you beat Florida. Here's the thing. After this Miami game, there's no one on that schedule that scares me. I think we have to seriously start talking about South Florida as the group of 5 team that gets into the playoff. Because after Miami, there is no one on that schedule. Not even the University of North Texas, the Mean Green, my new neighbors in Denton. Not even them are worrying me right now with the rest of the schedule. So whether they beat Miami or not, if they can keep it within 2 or 3 scores, USF might be a team that we're talking about being in the playoff at the very end of the year.
He is Will Ortner. He is joining us live from Dallas right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Another ranked game coming up this weekend. Notre Dame versus A&M. That game's in South Bend. If I'm a better, that's one of those games, Will, just who's the home team?
Right. In my eyes, what's funny about it, though, is I don't know that I trust Texas A&M. Like, have you looked at a score and been like, wow, Texas A&M really dominated them? Wow,
not for
I
years.
Really trust Marcel
not for
Reed.
A decade.
No, well, and what's their calling card? Their calling card is supposed to be, well, they're a good defense because they've got Mike Elko. Their defense hasn't looked good. It hasn't looked strong. Now, I don't know that I love the spread as I'm pulling it up right now, but you're telling me I get a Notre Dame team that's had 2 weeks to prepare, a Notre Dame team that knows if they lose this game at home, they're not going to make it into the playoffs. Playoffs are completely gone for them. And I'm getting a Texas A&M team that, frankly, I don't buy into. I think Notre Dame wins this game. I wouldn't be shocked if Notre Dame wins it by 10 points.
Will, before I let you go, how about that Sunday night football game, man? Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen, Buffalo and Baltimore. Was that an AFC championship preview we saw last night?
If it wasn't, then you saw the AFC championship preview on Friday night. That was awesome. Between your Kansas City Chiefs and the LA Chargers, Herbert, Mahomes going back and forth. Look, I'm not here to poke the bear. I'm not here to twist the knife in your wound. It was a great game. I just think you have four teams in the AFC right now. If Justin Herbert's going to play that way, Cincinnati will figure it out. I just don't trust their defense. I think you got four legit teams in the AFC that are Super Bowl contenders. When you look in the NFC, I might have been wrong about Green Bay after their thumping of Detroit, but in my eyes, there might be two teams that I think can win the Super Bowl in the NFC. I think we're going to have an AFC title winner again, and I think there's four teams. And honestly, at this point, just flip a coin.
I assume the two are Green Bay and Philadelphia in the NFC?
Those are my two. I thought Green Bay looked unbelievable, and I am okay eating crow on Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons did make a big difference on that defense. To have a sack in your first game when you've only been in a town for, what, 7 days, 6 days, and to come out and play like that, he's only going to get better. I'll eat crow on that one. I was wrong.
Yeah, you deserve it. And I love how much we make out of 1 week of football. This is going to change the world, and it's 1 week. Will, you're the best, man. Appreciate your time.
No, thank you for having me on. You're a beast.
Gotcha. Will Ortner talking a little college football with us here as Monday Night Football kicks off and the Bears are up 7-0, 4:51 left in the first quarter. We'll get you updated on that with Rich Ackerman here in just a second. We're playing a game of Get Rid of One, and then we only got 1 hour left. This show is flying by, but it's time for that Sports Flash with Rich Ackerman.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a paper listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's Sean Levine.
Bear down, Chicago Bears. I don't know any of the other words. Same thing with the Cubs song now that I think about it. What is it? Go Cubs, go. Go Cubs, go. Dun, 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 dun. I mean, the Bears are awesome, and Caleb Williams is the best quarterback ever. He's 9-for-9 with 56 yards rushing. He's got two rushes on the ground for 21 yards and a touchdown. It was sick, a 12-yard touchdown run, and his Bears are up 7-0. So far, it's all gravy, baby, for Chicago. As far as Minnesota goes, don't you know, J.J. McCarthy has thrown the ball one time through the first quarter. He completed the pass. So that's good. He's 1-for-1 for 5 yards. So we don't really know anything about him yet. Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson, the experiment through one quarter, looking pretty good. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Are you stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. I'm a sports machine, Sean Levine, with my guy Ryan spinning the wheels. The number is 888-710-4ISN. As long as the Bears and the Vikings don't have to use a kicker, they should be good because it was not a great weekend for kickers in the NFL. Now, I get it. They moved back the extra point a couple of years ago, so it's not what it used to be. And actually, it's kind of funny they didn't do that before. It used to be like a 97% clip, I think, extra points were made in the NFL. And now it's still something in the high 80s, but it's not a gimme. At least it's somewhat of a play, opposed to, like, let's just go to commercial and tack that point on. And while we're talking about kicking, I actually like the new kickoff rule. It seems to be working in the NFL, where something like 70% of kickoffs have actually gotten returned so far this year. But, man, like, I don't understand how NFL kickers miss extra points. Even though I just said I know they moved it back and they got to deal with weather, you've got one job. You're an adult. You're a grown-ass man that's entire job during the week, while everybody else is getting hit. Maybe they're wearing pads, maybe they're not. They got to learn the plays. There's a lot of mental gymnastics and physical, and you're running the hills and all that. The entire time as a kicker, all you're doing is swinging your leg. At practice, I would assume in the backyard, you're a kicker. I don't know what your job is. I'm a radio host. So I got to get interviews. I got to line up stuff with my guy Ryan. We got to get some sound. I got to get clever. I got to make up these funny segments. You know what I'm saying? I got to relate to the callers. There's just a lot of stuff going on. If you're a lawyer, you know, it's not an easy job. A doctor, a teacher, a garbage man, whatever you do, you've got a lot of stuff. A kicker has one job. It's to kick a football. That's it. You just kick a football. So I'm not going to hold against you if you miss a 50-yard field goal and they're running you on last second with no timeouts, pressure at the end of the game. But if you're the, what was our guy's name for the Browns that missed an extra point and a gimme field goal? If you're that guy, bro, how are you missing extra points? That's unacceptable, truly. And then Matt Prater comes out there, looked like he's somebody's great-grandfather. He's only been in Buffalo for 5 minutes. I know it was a chip shot, but also everybody's watching national stage Sunday Night Football for the Super Bowl favorites against Baltimore, one of the greatest comebacks we've ever seen. It'd be pretty easy to choke that one off. And his old ass kicked it right through the uprights. I don't get it, man. Kickers. We're still part of the team. No, you're not. Unless you win. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. Give me some beats. Let's get rid of one. We got a few minutes left. You know we do this, Ryan. You get four choices. You got to get rid of one. Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre. By the way, Aaron Rodgers is now 2 touchdowns behind Brett Favre for career touchdown passes. Not to sway your opinion. John Elway, Drew Brees. Get rid of one.
Brett Favre. Just way too many turnovers compared to everybody else. And there's just more winning. I'd say more success in their career than Brett Favre.
So Brees is just a lovable character. You know what I'm saying? San Diego, when they were still the football team, passed up on him. He goes to New Orleans. Katrina happens. Just becomes like one with that city. There's probably some people listening right now that are like, what? Drew Brees didn't play his whole career with the Saints? No, he started with the Chargers. But if you look at his all-time numbers, what he did for that city, winning the Super Bowl, he ain't going anywhere. John Elway won 2 Super Bowls at the end. So I already thought he was one of the top 5 best quarterbacks of all time throughout his career. And then he cashed in with 2 at the end. Remember, this one's for John. So he's not going anywhere. And if I just said that Aaron Rodgers is about to surpass Brett Favre and they've both got 1 ring, yeah, I think I'm going with Favre too. Doctors, get rid of one. Dr. Dre, Dr. J, Dr. Phil, Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper.
What?
I'm not a fan of Dr. Pepper.
What? I thought we were friends, bro.
I know Dr. Pepper is by far a top 3 soda for most people, but I'm just not a fan of it.
Are you not a soda guy? You're not a Dr. Pepper guy?
No, I'm just not a Dr. Pepper guy. Never drank it as a kid. Never got into it.
First team all weirdo, Ryan. If you're just anti-soda, well, then I understand. How do you feel about Mr. Pibb, the weird cousin of Dr. Pepper?
I've never even known that existed.
Never had a... A Pibb Extra?
Nope, never had it. Never had a root beer.
Knockoff version of a Dr. Pepper known as a Dr. Thunder?
I've heard of it. I've seen it. Never tried it.
I grew up with Dr. Thunder because my parents, we weren't poor. We were just cheap. My parents were. So it was all knockoff foods. It was Dr. Thunder soda. It was White Lightning, which was, I think, Sprite. It might have been the knockoff Mountain Dew, actually. And there was, like, instead of Cheerios, we had, like, Granios or something like that. Yeah, it wasn't good. Get rid of one. Aaron Judge, A-Rod, Mariano Rivera, Derek Jeter.
I'm assuming we're going based off of just Yankees legends. You got to get rid of A-Rod just because he didn't spend his whole tenure.
Oh, you weaseled out of it.
No, because when you look at it too, he got caught with the steroids. He had a bad fallout leaving. There's a whole lot against A-Rod where you can't pick him over the other 3.
What about the fact that A-Rod, correct me if I'm wrong, he did cash in that one time and won a World Series as a Yankee, right?
He does have a World Series with them. It's just...
And Moe's got a bunch, and Jeter's got even more than all these guys. Correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron Judge is still looking for a ring.
Yeah, no, but the MVPs make up for it.
Okay. I like your rationale. I like this guy. He's not bad. Chiefs, Lions, Commanders, Packers. Get rid of one.
I got to go with the Lions. I've not seen anything good coming out of Lions camp. I feel like they're overpaying players that don't deserve it. I don't think Jameson Williams deserved that contract.
A big deal. What did he get, like 3 for 80-something?
It was close to like $30 million per year. I think it's like 27 per, which is just absurd for a player his caliber. To me, I don't think he's that good. And on top of that, you didn't re-sign Aiden Hutchinson. You lost Ben Johnson. You lost Aaron Glenn and the offensive members of that staff and Ben Johnson. And Jared Goff's only getting older. I think they missed their chance.
I wonder how much of what we saw was missing the coordinators versus just one game or making a big deal out of it. it's just the one game was a division opponent on the road that just got Micah Parsons, so there was already a lot of attention on it. And there were a lot of people, Ryan, like me, that were saying before the Micah Parsons deal that I think Green Bay was the team to beat in the North. And now they just went out there and, in my opinion, proved it. I'm going to not get rid of my Chiefs. D.C. won, but we don't really know what they are in 2025 yet because they beat the Giants. And nothing against the Giants, but they put Russell Wilson out there. And somehow they're going to do it again. And Green Bay was just awesome. Man, I feel bad getting rid of the Lions because they've already lost half the games they lost the entire year last season, where they went 15-2 and had the bye, and it didn't work out well for them. Ultimately, Philly ended up getting out of the NFC and winning the Super Bowl. But we're talking about a team that's 15-2 and now 0-1. You got to get rid of the Lions. New York rappers, get rid of one. We know Biggie's the GOAT. DMX, Nas, Jay-Z, 50 Cent.
If we're going music, I listen to the least amount of 50 Cent. If we're going based off that, if we're going off icons, you'd probably have to say DMX, even though he's an icon too. This is probably the toughest one so far.
Well, yeah, because DMX, you got the snake, the rat, the cat, the dog. I mean, Nas put out maybe the best rap album of all time, certainly top five. Hova, Jay-Z. You're not a big Fitty guy? No in the club? No many men?
I know, but like I was the in the club got played so much as a kid for like birthdays
because it was awesome.
Oh, I know it kind of, you know, and I'm like, oh, that's the in the
play
club
it on your
guy.
Way home and then text me and tell me it's not still a banger.
It
can
is.
You do that?
I will. I think it's still good.
You know it is. Yeah. One more, then we'll get out of here. And then 3 hours already in the book. Wow. Allen's, Josh Allen, Ray Allen, Allen Iverson. My grandpa, Alan Levine. Now, before you answer that, you're like, I don't know anything about your grandpa. I talked about him earlier. We did the math. He said that he smoked 8 cigars a day from the time that he was 17 years old, and he lived to be 89, Ryan. So by my math, he'd smoke like 918,500 cigars, which is pretty impressive. So now you know about Alan Levine. Get rid of one. Josh Allen, Ray Allen, Allen Iverson, or my grandpa?
Ray Allen, just because he's not in the media anymore. I feel that's like fair. He's going, your Grandpa Allen. Ooh,
thank you. I appreciate that.
That's Hall of Fame worthy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Rest in peace, Paul. His house was awesome, but he smoked so many cigars in it that they literally had to, they kept the framework. They just had to knock down all of the walls inside and redo the ceiling and get rid of the carpets because it was stained with like the thickest, grossest yellow you could ever imagine. Something tells me if you step in there, even though they spent like $1 million on renovation, you can still smell the cigar smoke on a good day. If you give it a real good smell, sit in that living room where Paul was, something tells me you could smell that. And he smoked these cheap, nasty Don Mateo cigars. Goodness. 3 hours down, one more coming up. We'll get you updated. Vikings on the board. Touchdown, field goal, I'll tell you next.